Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
I opened a series that I'm calling Seed Time and Harvest, and we ended off last week in Mark chapter 4, verse 25 was where we ended last week. Actually, I'm sorry, verse 20. I'm hoping to get through 25 tonight. So we ended in verse 20. And verse 20 says, Jesus said, "The seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word, produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted." Now, all of what we're going to be going through tonight and over the next few weeks is talking about the whole process that as Christians we are to live in. Seed, time, and harvest, all of that. You're in one or the other if you're a Christian, or you're not getting the benefits of being a Christian. See, if you're being in the benefits of being a Christian, then you got to be living in one of these stages, and hopefully in different areas, you're in different stages at all times. In one area, you're getting a harvest. In another area, you're planting new seed. In another area, you're tending and watching over, and the time's necessary there. See, we studied last week, and I'm not going to go back and reteach all that. Get a CD from there or listen to the podcast. But sowing is left up to man. It is man's responsibility to sow. When Jesus was here, he sowed the word. And as he spoke, he was sowing the word because this is his word. See, the red letters, that's Jesus speaking. So he was sowing the word. So now, what do you do to sow the word? The red letters. It's the same thing. You're just hearing what Jesus said a couple thousand years removed. But it's the same thing. That's what Jesus said. And so we are now responsible for getting that word in our heart. But before, Jesus was spreading it and giving it. And what you've got to do is you got to understand that even as Jesus was giving it out, it still had a responsibility of the receiver to receive it. If I had a ball up here and I thought about bringing that and I thought, no, this could get out of hand. But if I had a ball and I threw it back there and I threw it and I'm looking right at Ben Cadle. So I throw it. Ben, what are you going to do? You're going to catch it. What if it is going right towards your wife's face? You're going to block it. You're still going to try to catch it, right? You're going to keep it from hit. But if it's going right at her and you just say, well, I don't want it, you'll try and catch it. Well, it may just hit her right in the face, and then she's going to be mad about it because you didn't get what was yours. It was for you. It was intended for you. See, there's the word of God that oftentimes is intended for you, and you're not reaching out and getting it. It was thrown to you. It was given to you. It spoke to you. It was all yours, and you didn't reach out and get it, and all of a sudden, somebody else got hit, and well, that wasn't for me. No, it wasn't. You weren't the intended recipient of that one. You already got that when you're in the harvest season of that word. See, every time there's a speaking going on, every time there's a speaker, there's always something you can get, but you may not get the same thing that Josiah gets as what Dan gets. I mean, different people are going to get different things by the spoken word as it goes out. And that's why there's just not, well, let me give you one sentence and everybody got it. You get a whole bunch of sentences, and so everybody ought to be able to receive something that's said. Psalm 45, the word stirs my heart. When you get the word in you, it ought to stir you up. Just like Jonathan is stirred up, stirring him up. So let's continue on. I said last week in closing that verse 21, the translators are taking this into like a different topic, but it's not. This is a continuation of seed. And so let's go ahead and start reading in 21 of Mark chapter 4. Then Jesus asked them, "Would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed?" Jesus is so practical. I mean, would anybody do that? And then he answers his own question like they all are thinking, of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. Everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear." Let me repeat that. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given. and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man, now think about this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We're just doing some Bible study tonight. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, how is that? Because your spirit is where God dwells. That's where God is using you through. He's speaking to your spirit. You're praying in the spirit. You're building your spirit up with the spirit of God. And together, you're going out and accomplishing something you couldn't do without him. So the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's where God will shine out. You ever met someone with a bad spirit? Everybody here has. And sometimes they call themselves a Christian. And I'm going, where's the candle of the Lord here? You know what I mean? That may not be your exact thought, but you go, well, you call yourself a Christian? You're acting like that? See, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Psalm 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto what? Our feet, and a light unto our path. How many of y'all memorized that one growing up? I mean, okay, good. A lot of people, I've heard that verse before. So, and I want to talk a little bit about that here in a second, but the Lord will light my candle inside of me, and he will do that through his word. See, his word is what produces the harvest of light. If you're wanting to show your light to the world, if you're wanting light to illuminate where your feet are going and illuminate where your path is, you've got to get the word in you. People just say, well, I'm a Christian, so God's going to do that. That happens based on what you just read in the first part of Mark chapter 4. See, that's how that works. Well, I signed up to be a Christian when I was 8 years old, and you haven't read the Bible since? So that doesn't make any sense, because now that tells me why you're acting the way you're acting. And so what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to encourage the church that we don't want to represent the spirit of darkness. Well, Pastor, it's not what I would be doing. The absence of God's word is darkness. So if the word is not in you, then you are dark. And all of us have been through seasons and through little periods of our life where we didn't get in the word and we start feeling dirty. You start feeling dark. And what how does that happen? It's because the absence of God's word, there's darkness. When the world walks in darkness and you walk in the light, they don't want to be around you. Why? Because it shows their darkness. What do you mean? It shows their dark. It shows things that they were wanting to keep in the dark. I didn't want that to be illuminated. I didn't want that to be shown. And so when you're, I didn't want everybody to realize I'm in a bad mood. And you're walking in a good mood, and I'm trying to be negative, and you're trying to be positive. You ever try to be positive with somebody who's negative? It don't work very long. Y'all aren't on it. You got to either be negative or they got to turn around and be positive. Because it's just like a positive and negative. They don't go together. I mean, they clash and they repel, and oh, I just can't handle that. And so that's what the light does, is it repels darkness. Now, our hope is that they would see the lightness in us, the light in us, and realize they can have that too. And we're not being judgmental. We're not throwing them under a bus. We're not trying to be mean to them. We're trying to help them to see that there's a different way. Verse 22 and 23. Everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. What does that mean? Let me give you some words, just two words that I think will, okay, I get this. Everything's hidden will be brought into the open. There's a lot of things that you don't know that you don't know. Every one of us are like that. I mean, there are things I don't even know that I don't know. And what really frustrates me is when I find out, oh, I don't really know that. But the reading of God's word in life and in spiritual things and in knowledge of what am I supposed to say in this situation, it's always amazing to me how things that I didn't know, God will illuminate when I've got his word in my heart. He'll just all of a sudden bring to light something that was hidden. So what I want to say when he's talking about here is revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. It's knowledge that you can't have without God revealing it to you. And it won't be revealed without you getting the seed of the word in your heart. It's got to be there. You got to sow it. You got to sow it. The world living in darkness, the absence of God's word, if you are sowing the word of God in your heart and you're walking in light, sometimes the world may not have a clue, but you have knowledge about someone and you're like, I know something about what you're dealing with. And you're like, how do I know that I know that? Revelation knowledge. See, there's just light exposes. They don't even know you know, but I've been around people and I can tell you they're dealing with depression. They're having troubles at home. And I mean, just like all of a sudden, wow, I just know what you're dealing with. I've been around guys and I hear them talking about things and all of a sudden I know they've got a bad marriage. Part of that's because of my past. And I know that I used to act and talk the same way about my spouse. But after being around them, I can, sometimes they don't even talk, and I'm just around them for a very short time, and they're not talking about it. And boy, the Holy Spirit will just reveal some things. That revelation knowledge, how does that happen? I don't know, but when you start getting the word and you, things start being revealed to you. I've had it happen. Sunday it happened. Sunday, I just up here, I mean, I was just praising, and I was minding my own business, and God just said, you need to get up and pray for some people. They're hurting. I was talking to Mom. After Sunday, Mom came up to be prayed for, and we were together. Was it Sunday afternoon or evening or when it was? I don't remember when it was. But anyway, she said, I said, how you doing? And you said what? Wonderful. She said, I'm 99%. And then she caught herself and goes, I saw her do this. She goes, no, I'm 100%. What y'all don't know is the last 3 weeks she's been walking with a walker and a cane and even a couple days in a wheelchair. What is going on? She said, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to receive that. I've invested the word. Mom's in her word. She's continually praying and feeding in the right thing. Well, what? That was for her. She came up here. And I know that there's probably more than just that testimony, but that was one that I've already heard about. And she said, I loved it. I'm 99%. I'm 100%. Not even realizing how much it was for. See, we're going right back. That was my little side. There are things for us that we don't even know are for us sometimes. So what happens is a word said or the word of God goes forth and all of a sudden, that is for me, and so I'm going to go get what's mine. Revelation knowledge. But there's a lot of people that don't even know healing's for them, so they never head towards it. But you know, you can be healed. That's for you. Whatever you're dealing with. Israel. In Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. They really had some problems. God's people were in Egypt and they began hearing what God was saying. There was always light wherever God's people were. The rest of Egypt was in darkness, but where Israel was camped, it was light. When they left, there was fire given to lead them. In the day, he gave them shade so it didn't get too hot for them. I mean, God was looking out for his people as they were listening to what he was saying. And I think that exact representation has got to be our life. If we just listen to what he's saying, then there's protection for us. The spirit of man is a man's spirit bought to keep you in bondage. No, a man's spirit is bought to free you up. That's what Jesus did for us. Knowing that. See, Revelation 1:20, I'm getting so fired up, but I got to, Revelation 1:20, the candlestick is the church. Well, the deeper you get into this, the more it starts going, wow, I'm starting to get a hold of this. Well, I'm talking to the church tonight. The candlestick is the church. See, we're supposed to be with the body of Christ as a Christian. And I'm just always amazed at people who think they can live life outside of the body of Christ and live in the bountiful blessings. It doesn't make sense. The church is the candlestick. The candlestick is the church. Not the building. God's people is what I'm talking about. People apart from the church. I have yet to see people living outside of the church that shine bright enough for me to be attracted to them. I haven't yet. People that aren't talking about their church and where they go and what they're a part of and what the church is doing and what they're a part of in the church, they aren't speaking to my life, and it's not bright enough that I can receive from them. Melanie and I were talking about this. Michelle and I were, Melanie were talking the other day, and Melanie was talking about people that were not in church, and we were just visiting, and she said something that I wrote down because I thought it was good, and I'm maybe paraphrasing, so if I'm wrong, you can ask Melanie, and she can correct it for you. But people say they're a Christian, and they were in church at one time, and then they fell out. Well, the longer they separate themselves from the church, the less and less they look like a Christian. The longer you separate yourself from the body of Christ, and this I'm hoping somebody's listening to on podcast or got a CD of this message and realizes, wow, that was for me. That was a word for me today. Because the candlestick is the church, which means to hold the light, the church has a big responsibility. And you can't get light to somebody. I mean, really, getting light, the fire and the heat and the all of that takes a candlestick, something to hold it, to present it. That's what the church does. So when you remove yourself from that, the less and less you look like a part of Christ. And fact is, the body of Christ is the church. So when you start really putting all this together, you're, wow, I hadn't thought about it exactly like that. But people tend to show themselves less and less a part of God. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm just saying they show themselves less and less a part of God the longer they're separated from the church. And I have counseled this my whole time here. People will be gone for just, I mean, 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, and I need to get back. I know I need to get back. And I didn't even say anything. But I walked in, and there was some light there, and all of a sudden the darkness was exposed. Come on, I mean, everybody here knows exactly what. And you weren't trying to be mean. I know I need to be there. I run into them all the time. We're wanting to come back and see y'all, and hey, well, you come anytime. How's your church? Where are you going? Well, we haven't really been in church lately. This isn't everybody. I'm just saying the ones that, and then they, I just want them in church, man. I just want people to show Jesus. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I just want people to be a part of the blessings God has for them. There's so much in the life of a Christian that's available people are missing. So let's just kind of run through this real quick and make sure we got it. The light is what? The light is the word. The way that it illuminates is it's sown in our heart. So as it's sown in our heart, it's kind of like that gets put in our heart, and our heart tends that fire and gets it built up and shows Jesus. Because Jesus uses you and me to show himself to a lost and dying world. So that it's sown in our heart, we put it in there, it provides light so that we don't stumble when we're walking for our feet. It provides light for our path. Now get this. I always wondered, well, isn't that the same thing? My feet are on the path, so feet and path are the same. No, two different things. My feet, I got to know right here where I'm at as I'm going. The light's got to light up where I'm walking, but it's also got to light my path. It's got to light where I'm headed, my vision. I can see ahead. I can see the line up there. Oh, there's a line on my path. Well, I'll get my bow out. Whatever the case, I've got, or gun if you got, whatever, get something. That lion's not taking me down because I saw him. See, that evil up there's not, that light, man, it showed me my path. Praise God. Praise God. See, I don't, well, what am I supposed to do? Get in your word. Well, I just don't know what to do. Get in your word. Why? Because you need to sow into yourself so that that light will grow and it'll show you. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, take off walking. Right now you've got a lamp for your feet. Start walking. Start walking into things of God. Well, I just really don't know. And all of a sudden I come up to a decision. I don't know what. Get that light a little brighter so you can see on ahead. See your vision. What's your vision? People die because they don't have vision. What they're dying from is a lack of the word sown in their heart. That's what's happened to the Christian church today. We don't have the word sown in our heart. We're dependent on the pastor to do that on Sundays and Wednesdays, and that ain't enough. It's not enough. So we understand the vision, the feet, the path, and then the church revealing the light by holding the candlestick to the world. Hey, we want everybody to know, right, here's the place. That's why we're referred to as on a hillside a lot of times. It's referred to in the word, a light on a hill, something that you can see, that you can, that's what the church needs to do in the candlestick. Well, how does the light shone though? It's shown through his people getting the word in their heart. Is this kind of bright? I mean, you can read Mark 4 your whole life, but this thing's got to be seen so that you understand. Verse 22, everything that's hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Church, hear me today. You cannot plant the word of God in your heart and stay the same. You can't do it. You go start just reading your Bible every day and plant it. I'm not talking about footpath stuff here. I'm talking about plant that seed. Get that in your heart. Start memorizing scripture and saying, I'm living by this. Today's the day the Lord has made. Get up in the morning and say it. Today's the day the Lord's made. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to rejoice in it. Today's the day God's made. It's going to be a good day. You get up and start saying that and then go try and be sour. Just keep saying it. See, the more you sow that in your heart and you get it, you get it. I mean, Philippians 4:8, continue to think and meditate on things that are praiseworthy, of good rapport, things that will build you up. I mean, there's so many different scriptures. Philippians 4:4, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. I mean, there's, be sour. Again, I say, be sour. But I'm just telling you, people are telling themselves that. Because they're not sowing the word of God in their heart. And if we just start sowing the word in our heart, Psalm 127:1, lest the Lord be the builder of my house, then I'm going to labor in vain building it myself. I got to have God's help. God's got to build my house. At whatever place, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the know-how. Oh God, revelation knowledge. That's what I'm doing right there. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. They're just things that all of a sudden, as the seed starts being sown in your heart, are you seeing this? And you start saying it and speaking it, and all of a sudden, see, you can't plant the word of God in your heart. You can't plant it and stay the same. Now, let me say this. You can go to church and never change. That's a whole word tonight right there. You cannot sow the word of God in your heart and stay the same. But you can go to church and never change, not one iota. And I've watched it 100 times. And this church has been here 11, I'm going on 12, whatever. I've always got it wrong. It's been here a while. I've seen it enough now. I've seen it enough that you can go to church and never change. But you can't sow the word of God in your heart and stay the same. The word of God will change you. You know, you hear a lot, if you've been here very long, you've heard this a lot, but positive profession, saying the right thing. Well, that really stems from exactly what I'm talking about tonight. See, when you say the right thing, then you get the right result. When you say the right thing, you'll get the right result. If I'm going to say today's the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to be happy and rejoice in it, I mean, if I say that, if I speak that and I continue to let that come out of my mouth, I'm going to get that. It's just hard to not keep saying the right thing and not get what you're saying. You're not going to buy the car unless you say, I'm going to go buy a car. And I am not buying a car. I'm not buying a car. I'm telling you, I'm not buying a car. No, I'm not even going and looking at that car. No, I'm not buying a car. Guess what? You're probably not buying a car. See, you're going to have what you say. And if people get all caught up on this, like, that's just one of the weirdest faith messages. No, that makes the most sense of anything I've said tonight. And yes, it's a faith message, but you got to understand that you can't have what you say. See, the Word of God says you can have certain things, so you keep saying what you can have, and you can have it. Some of us need to start talking to ourselves, and we need to say what God says we are. You want revelation knowledge, you plant the Word. You may not get enough in the church service, so you go home and plant some more. You go plant some more. In fact, I know you're not going to get enough in the church service. Go home and plant some more, plant some more. Sow it that you'll have revelation knowledge needed to live the godly life. And it may not be revelation knowledge of someone else. It may be revelation knowledge of, wow, I can have a good marriage. You know, there was a day and time where that just hit me. I'm sitting there. I remember right where it was. I don't go to Branson that I don't remember the exact place I was sitting in the chair when I heard Psalm 127:1. And I don't know if I'd ever even heard it my whole life. But I remember hearing it for the first time, and I thought, that's it, you bonehead. All you've done your whole life is tell her what her problems were. That's all you've done is tell your wife what all her problems are. That's all you've done. And unless the Lord builds your house and you keep trying to tell her what's wrong, you ain't ever going to get it, big boy. And I remember it like it was yesterday, and all of a sudden, whoa, it just hit me. The Word of God is real. It's real. All of a sudden, I started saying it. And you know, I had to say it for 2 or 3 years because even though I was saying it, my wife didn't believe I was saying it to make it real. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're the same guy. It took me 2 or 3 years to fix what I had torn up over 10 or 12. Took a while. Verse 24 says, pay close attention. This goes right in line with what I'm talking about. If you pay attention to all the bad things you hear, and you sow that, and you sow that, and you sow that in your heart, what is your return going to be? The bad things you hear. Talk radio you can only handle so much of. And I know that, and I have to watch myself, and I listen to it a lot because I want to know what's going on. But then I have to just go push that off button and say, well, I got to get away from this. And I go up, and I was listening to the Chewbacca mom today. I know everybody knows who she is. I was. She's singing a song, Power in the Blood, on a banjo. Singing right along with her. I think we'd make a good duet. I had to get away from it. See, I got to get my heart right and my mind right, not just for here, but for my life. I got to have it right. We got to have a heart and our mind right. What you hear all the time, if you continually hear bad things, what are you sowing in your heart? Pay close attention, the Bible says, verse 24. Pay close attention to what you hear. Pay close attention. Boy, Jesus just had it all figured out, didn't he? Obviously. Pay close attention to what you hear. You keep hearing the wrong thing. What are you putting in your heart? The wrong thing. You sow that. Your return is going to be the wrong thing. You sow and sow and sow certain things in your heart. And church, hear me. If you're not sowing podcasts, worship songs, if you're not sowing the right things in your heart, then the Word of God's getting crowded out. And you go right back to the first of Mark 4. And I want us to grow some things. But here's what happens. What you sow in your heart, your mind magnifies. There's a magnifying glass that goes on. That's why if someone does you wrong, the mind just continues to think on it and think on it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and your mind magnifies it. Someone gets offended, and they shouldn't have said what they said. They shouldn't have done what they did. And for you, you know, I'm the one offended, and oh, they shouldn't have done that. And oh, it was just terrible. And it just grows and grows, and you get madder and madder and more frustrated. I don't know if that's the right word. But yeah, then wham, that's all you think about. I can't even think about anything else. That's all I think about because I just keep growing this. You got to be careful what you allow to grow in your mind. That's why you got to sow the Word. Because if you're growing the wrong thing, you're going to be in trouble. You start getting the Word in your head of who Christ is and what He says you are or who He says you are. Have you ever thought about what it means to magnify the Lord? You've heard that phrase. God doesn't change. You cannot make him, hear this tonight, you can't make him any bigger than he is. God don't change. So you can't make him any bigger except in you. See, a magnifying glass doesn't make the object bigger. It just makes it bigger to you. I want to magnify the Lord. Get him bigger in you. Get him bigger in you. Let him grow in you. See, that's why you got to pay attention to what you hear, because you'll magnify something. And if you're not magnifying the Lord, then he's not going to have the proper place. Verse 24 and 25. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you'll receive even more. What measure you give to the truth you hear determines what you get out of what you hear. Let me say that again. What measure, what volume, what amount what amount of attention you give and what you allow in you to the truth. The truth is the Word of God, every part of it. It determines what you're going to get out of it. See, what amount you get, the measure that you're getting out of the Word of God will be an indicator of the measure that you're going to be blessed by the Word of God. Just like how much seed you plant will be a direct indication of the measure of crops that you're going to get based on the seed that you would plant in a garden. The more you hear this word, and I know Ben Garby sitting here on the front row, as always, and has been for a long time. And he's not heard anything that I've said tonight that's brand new. Everything I've said, he's heard, and he's heard. But you know, last week he heard it. He walked up and he goes, "Boy, that was good." Well, you've heard this a million times. Yeah, it built me up. Why? Because that's the way the Word of God, it's fresh and new. Even though you've heard it 100 times, it can be fresh and new, and it can reveal things that I just didn't get that last time. And I mean, there was just more that built. You teach the same thing all the time, Pastor. You just teach the same thing all the time. You can't spend enough times on the things we need to live by. You can't do it. We got to get this. The more you hear, the more you can then hear. The more you hear, the more you can then hear. The more you hear, the more you can then hear. I'm going to say it like this. Michelle told me a story, and it's been a few years ago, but since I'm talking about the Garbys, I'll just keep using it. It was Braden that they were. He was talking to Michelle, and he said to Michelle, they're like, parents are really nervous right now. But he said, "Michelle, I want to try some high school work." So he went and asked her that. And so she said, "All right." So she went and got some of the high school work. Because I mean, he was doing good. We were bragging on Braden's one of the smartest boys you'll meet. So we were patting him. You know, he was younger and cute when you could still pat him. And so anyway, I mean, he's still cute, but he's older now. Anyway, so we're patting him. She gives him some of the high school work. And I just, you know, because we had been bragging on him how good and how smart he was. Well, hey, I am. I mean, that kind of get in you. Enough people brag on you. I am pretty good. You know, and so that he gets it in him. And so she goes and gets the high school work. And he said, "You know, I probably better learn what I've got right here in front of me first." I've never forgot that story because I just, the more can't be heard until you start hearing where you're at. There was a whole measure of stuff I talked about tonight, and not everybody got the same measure of the word tonight. I hope that I got deep enough that I was clear, but there are some that just need to get, "I've got to read my word." But there are some that go, "Wow, by reading my word, I'm going to be able to get more and more and more." And there are some that got, "By reading more and more and more, I can help take the church as a candlestick out into this world." See, there's so much there that's so deep that we miss. And I want you to know that you will in life forget what you got if you don't keep remembering it. And that was what kind of spawned my message on Sunday about remembrance. I think it's real important that we remember. But the thing is, you can't remember if you don't keep something in front of you. You just can't do it unless it stays in front of you. And that's why I tell people, when you get saved, get a Bible. You don't have a Bible? I'll go get them a Bible. But here's the thing. When you get saved and you know Jesus is Lord and Savior, you need to write down in your Bible the day that you gave, the day, time, where you were at, whatever. Well, you'll never forget that. I countless people, I'm one of them, that I've got to go back to my Bible to find the exact date. See, the exact date, you got to keep that in front of. So I tell them, don't ever lose that, because you want to be able to know there was a day and time I gave my heart and life to Jesus. So, and that's just an example of what I'm talking about. You'll forget things if you don't keep it in front of you. There are scriptures you memorized as a kid that you can't quote right now, but you'll hear a pastor say it and you'll be, oh, I knew that. Well, why didn't you know it before I quoted it? Because you haven't kept it in front of you. But if you'll sow that seed, you'll keep it. Are you getting this tonight? Do you like the teaching on seed time and harvest? I'm telling you, we're just setting a foundation of what we're getting ready to walk into. It's going to be awesome. Y'all stand with me this evening. Next week, we'll continue from there, and it'll just get better and better and gooder and gooder. So,
we hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.